seated. So our text for today is taken from the gospel lesson you have printed in your bulletin and the conversation Jesus has just following that, beginning at verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed or tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." So far the text. So these are the kind of uncomfortable weeks following the resurrection and prior to the ascension, where the disciples really don't know what to do. The only plan at this point that Jesus has given them is to tell them, if anyone sins, forgive their sins and they will be forgiven. Which really isn't quite a master plan of what you're supposed to be doing, just walking around forgiving people. You know, doesn't really tell them where they're supposed to go, what they're supposed to be doing. And it's this kind of in-between period that can be very uncomfortable. I experienced that once when my family moved from Virginia to Minnesota in my junior year in high school. And that summer, I went back with my mom and I hung out with my friends, and it was great. It was just like old times. And then that fall, I'd say 2-3 weeks into the school year, I went back with my dad. And I stayed with the same friend, and then we went back to my same school. Now, I'd missed one semester and like 2 weeks of time in that school, and everything had radically changed. My friends were still there, and yet there were new friends. I didn't know them. I didn't understand the kind of language that they were talking. I didn't understand the references they were making, and I felt completely lost. And so I knew I couldn't go back again because everything had passed me by, and I also couldn't go forward again because I really had nothing going on in Minnesota. So it was this uncomfortable in-between time. And for the disciples in that time, they just decide, let's do something we're comfortable doing, and that is go fishing. And so, of course, they don't catch any fish. I imagine they must have caught fish at some point, right? The gospel writers never include that, but, I mean, they did have a business, so they had to catch fish occasionally. But this is like the second time where they fished all night, don't catch a thing. Then someone on shore says, "Hey, you got any fish?" And they say, "No." And Jesus says, "Well, throw your nets on the other side of the boat, and you'll catch some." I may not be the smartest guy in the world, but I would have figured out it was Jesus at that point. All right. Well, seemingly they don't. But they catch all these fish. And then John has to tell Peter, I think that's the Lord. And Peter acts like Peter. He just jumps overboard and starts swimming. Incidentally, he didn't have to help the other five haul all the fish back. Do you notice that? Yeah. But I don't think he was being lazy. I just think he was that excited. Okay. And then he comes there, and all of a sudden, Jesus has breakfast laid out. There's fish, and there's bread. Now, it is so easy for us to miss the point of what has just happened here and the point of the conversation that Jesus is going to have with Peter. I had kind of a flashback reading this of, young Ted Schaefer in the second or third grade Sunday school class where they were covering this topic. And it was fascinating to me because the teacher was using a felt board. Remember those? Wow, I still can't figure out how those things stick, but whatever. So she had a felt board boat and some felt board disciples and then some felt board fish in a net and all that stuff. And then there was Jesus, felt board Jesus, and felt board Peter, felt board fire. And then she put on the felt board fish and the felt board bread. And that's when I had questions, okay? And I was not one to keep my questions to myself. And so I simply said, "Hey, what kind of fish is that? Is it smelt? I hate smelt. Is it walleye? That'd be good. What kind of bread? My dad always gets this cracked wheat, which is like cracked teeth bread. I hate that stuff. Maybe it's Wonder White bread. We never have that at home." And then she's like, "I don't know. I don't know. I don't know." And finally I said, "Well, the big question, where does he get it? Where do you get the fish? He had a pole, right? Where's he getting bait? You know, where's he getting this bread from? Finally, she answered, you know, the way she always did with me. Well, it's just because he's Jesus. And I go, what does that mean? And she goes, well, because Jesus is God, and he can do anything. I go, well, what does he want to do? Finally, I think she said something like, fine, okay. Before, while they were in Capernaum, Jesus just stopped by the Piggly Wiggly and picked up some walleye and Wonder White bread and then brought it, okay? And I'm like, what, they had Piggly Wigglies back then? I mean, you know, questions never really end. But you see, I was missing the point. The point of, is not how did Jesus get hold of this fish, all right? And we can miss the full point of what Jesus is doing with Peter here in this conversation. And I'll show you how we can miss the without seeing the full point. So Jesus says to Peter three times, do you love me? You know, rubbing a little salt in the wound there, right? Because, gee, what did Peter do three times before this? Deny Jesus. And don't think that's not dawning on Peter. And so he brings this up three times. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Peter's feelings are hurt at the end. And then we see Jesus forgive Peter his sin. Now, that's where third grade Ted Schaefer would say, wait a second, it doesn't say that. Where does it say Jesus say, I forgive you your sins? It doesn't say that. And third grade Ted would be right. It doesn't say that. Now, why do you think that is? I think it revolves around what we were talking about last week, that the fullness of salvation is not just the forgiveness of sins. It also includes reconciliation. A reconciliation that was necessary because Peter was at a bonfire a number of weeks before this. And as Jesus was on trial, Peter was warming himself. And if you read John chapter 18, three people fire some questions at Jesus, at Peter. And we seemingly think, well, that's where he denies Jesus. Well, not really. He does, but not really. Because when you look at the questions that are being asked of Peter at that bonfire, they have more to do with who Peter is than who Jesus is. What he's really denying is his relationship with Jesus, and therefore he's denying who he really is. And now we're at a bonfire in the morning, and they've eaten breakfast. And now Jesus asks these questions again. Now Peter certainly needs forgiveness for what he's done. But more than that, he needs basically to hear and understand Jesus saying to him that you may have denied your relationship with me, but I have never denied that relationship in terms of you. I've never denied knowing you. I've never denied forgiving you. I've never denied loving you. And nothing you have said or will say or have done or will do will ever change that fact. That's a reconciliation that he needed. And on the seashore this morning, Jeremiah 31 comes true, where it talks about a new covenant being made. You know, where God says, you guys all failed, and so I'm going to take this covenant over, place my word in your mouth and my word in your heart and the salvation, and now you are my child because of my love for you. He makes Peter a new creation. He says, I am the good shepherd, but now I send you out to tend and to feed my flock. And the ultimate power of God is not just seen in his ultimate forgiveness, it's also seen in his reconciliation, in creating, restoring, and causing to last forever the relationship he has with us. It'd be like a spoiled child that throws a fit and screams at his mom and dad, you're not my mom and dad, I hate you. And the parents turn back and say, well, you may hate me, but I don't hate you and never have. And nothing will change the fact that you're my child. Now, that child needs to be forgiven. But more and importantly, I think, that child needs to understand and see the reality of an unchangeable relationship of love that the parent creates. That gives a child freedom, and it gives us freedom in seeing that. The Apostle Paul expressed that freedom by saying, nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is mine in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Nothing. And I pray that God continues to give us the faith, certainly to see we're forgiven, but to see the incredible relationship he's established with us. and the new creation he's made of us. And so that living in that freedom, we can rejoice and care for the flock and care for those who are outside of the flock. In Jesus' name, amen.